and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into combat sports.
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Brought to you by the WBO, the World Boxing Organization.
Pull up some dust and sit down.
And now, the host of the longest running fight show in radio and internet history.
I am deeply sorry for my irresponsible and selfish behavior I engaged in.
Pedro Fernandez.
My advice to you is to start drinking heavily.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Sports Byline Broadcast Network here in the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Often imitated but never duplicated. Make that 35, no, make that 36, no, make that 37 plus years now. Almost 37 years of radio. Straight up, when I started this show at the age of 10, I never thought I'd be going 37 years. But bottom line is, here we are, 37 years later, rocking and rolling on the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite Radio, of course, and, of course, the American Forces Network. Straight up, my name is Pedro Fernandez. I'm an award-winning writer, former four-time Golden Glove champion. Back in the days when the Golden Gloves meant something, they don't really mean anything anymore because they don't have Golden Glove tournaments like they used to. I mean, in the old days, there were like thousands of people would turn out in San Francisco to watch amateur boxing. Now you can't get a few hundred people to turn out for an amateur boxing card. Bottom line is, amateur boxing sort of lost its way somewhere in the 1990s. We've had some great fighters from the Bay Area. I mean, think about it. Andre Ward, Olympic gold medalist, former world light heavyweight champion, retired undefeated, straight up a great fighter, no doubt about that. But not a superstar in the world of boxing like a Sugar Ray Leonard, maybe, or a Marvin Hagler. Why? Why did Andre Ward miss the boat there? We'll talk with Socrates Palmer, of course, boxing's PhD, after the break. But we'll pose that question and some other questions to him as well. If you'd like to join in on the conversation, you can via the toll-free 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Or get this, the guilt-free, no-commitment text line. The number, 415-275-1613. The text line, once again, 415-275-1613. Boxing is back big time after the break.
The way that you talk really knocks me out, girl. The clothes that you wear, the style of your hair, the way that you fare. Under all conditions, you're mine all of the time. So wonderful, so marvelous, girl. You're everything to me.
Here comes the decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
I'm not invincible. The great Floyd Mayweather isn't invincible. Nobody's invincible. You just have guys that are really, really good at what they do. And that's just what it is. But anybody can be knocked out. Anything can happen in that ring. And that's why boxing has the buzz and intrigue that it has. And that's why it'll never die, because I'm a huge sports fan. I watch all sports. But it's one thing to watch a team sport, but it's something else to watch two men at the highest level battle, and one may be favored over the other, but you never know what's going to happen. And that's why boxing is the way it is.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Hello, killer! Andre Ward, they're explaining the sweet science. Of course, now an ESPN announcer, kicking ass, the former Olympic gold medalist, of course, 2004. I was the only one that picked him in the local media to win the gold medal. In fact, they called me a shill on different radio shows, different sports shows. They even took me on TV, Channel 4, and tried to say I was a shill, saying that Andre Ward, 165-pounder, was going to step up to 178 pounds and beat the bigger guys because he wouldn't fight at 165 after he and Andre Durrell, I think, flipped a coin. And Durrell was going to go at 165. He would go at 178. The bottom line is, he did win at 178. Of course, he never lost a fight as a professional. That one fight with Kovalev might have been shaky the first time, but I think he sort of erased the, any doubts in anybody's mind as to who was the better fighter in the rematch. And, of course, that one loss as an amateur, it occurred, I believe, at King's Gym in Oakland, California. Of all those fights Andre Ward had, and he had a couple hundred, he only lost one, and that was a very controversial decision. So bottom line is, he might be the only undefeated boxer in the history of boxing. I'm talking about Andre Ward, Mr. Olympic gold medalist, the son of God, call him what you want to call him. The bottom line is, he's never had a negative headline about him. I mean, I know, I live in the Bay Area. He is what he portrays to be, the son of God. He's true to that. Straight up, no police reports on the great Andre Ward. May he continue to be one of the better broadcasters on television as well. Last week, boxing is rocking and rolling. Of course, I'm talking about Sean Porter pitching a 12-round decision against a guy by the name of Sebastian Vermillion. Bottom line is, this guy had Mark written all over him. And why it took 12 rounds, why it went 36 minutes, I don't know. It was a bit of a bore to me after about four or five rounds as I realized how this fight was going and what it was going to end up being. A 12-round decision win for Sean Porter, a shutout going away. I woke up at about, I guess about 6:30 in the morning, 6 o'clock in the morning one day this week, and watched Kasha Zhu's kid, Tim Zhu, beat up on Jeff Horn. Of course, Jeff Horn had beaten Manny Pacquiao in the past, a former WBO 147-pound champion. I mean, a worthy fighter. I think he's 28-2 now, decent fighter, no doubt about that. But, man, no, 20-3 with a draw, and but he's been stopped. No, with 13 KOs, but he's been stopped three times now. This is his third stoppage, of course. And Zhu now, 15-0, 12 whacks. Zhu, the bigger guy, the younger guy. The TV announcers like Jeff Fennec, former three-time world champion. Of course, my buddy down there in Las Vegas a couple of times. He thought that Jeff Horn was going to win going away by a stoppage. In fact, they were like in shock that Zhu just went out there and shut him down, shut him out, and eventually stopped him. Bottom line is, Tim Zhu is a good fighter, a great fighter. We'll see. His father was a pretty good fighter, no doubt about that. Kasha Zhu, of course, he was probably the only guy that Oscar De La Hoya ducked in his entire career. And speaking of De La Hoya, talking about coming back, not too keen on that, folks. I might need some Viagra to get up for that one. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. I did not need any Viagra to watch Alexander Povetkin drill Dillian White last week. It was like one punch, bang, and it was over. I mean, bang. And it was over. And that's what boxing's all about, those exclamation mark point knockouts. Of course, and the man knows a lot about knocking people out. I'm talking about boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer, now joins me on the line from the Bronx. Socrates, what a punch. I mean, ba-boom.
Yes, it was. How were you, Pedro?
I'm better than Dillian White.
Yeah. I'm sure Mr. White received some humble pie last week. It's why we watch, you know. I mean, we were on the phone minutes after it happened, and it was just like, wow, this is why we're fight fans. And the round prior to that, Povetkin looked every bit his 41 or 42 years of age. He looked like he was out of there. Mm-hmm. You know, he was dropped twice, and it was, I saw the fight about three times. And the way he slipped that shot, it was really out of the Customato Teddy Atlas playbook. You know, he slipped to the side where the punch came and came with that uppercut. Just beautiful. Just, I think it's the difference between a fighter who's been fighting his whole life, that muscle memory, as opposed to somebody who gets into the game a little later, I think, which was the case with Dillian White. And it was just brilliant. You know, Povetkin's career is still going, and Dillian White's career took a major step back after, you know, being on the cusp for a title shot. He's going to have to get on the back of the line again.
So they're going to try. I saw Barry Hearn, the promoter, of course, of both guys, and you would think that he would be happy because he got both guys, but no, he wasn't happy afterwards. He sounded like a little petulant child. I mean, I was really... You know, I mean, I'm not a big guy on promoters, okay? And promoters are businessmen, they're salesmen, there's no doubt about it. But Barry Hearn sort of turned me, it really made my stomach turn last week when he's basically dogged Alexander Povetkin for winning and beating his guy up like that, like there was some controversy involved. There was no controversy there. You could have counted to 20.
Well, you know, I don't know how much promotional. I think Povetkin's also promoted by a Russian promoter, but it didn't go according to script. You know, that wasn't the plan. You know, to get your guy knocked out literally in your backyard, as was the case last weekend. Yeah, he threw a wrench into the, you know, a monkey wrench into the cogs. Where does Dillian White go from here? I know he expressed a rematch. Wanting a rematch. I saw later on in the week something ridiculous that Dillian White would still be a viable opponent for Anthony Joshua. I mean, really? How do you sell that? You know, after the guy just, you know, got knocked out cold.
He's still snoring.
Yeah, man. That, you know, and how about, is it a, I mean, he was winning the fight up until that point, but he was 30 pounds heavier than Povetkin. I mean, maybe that played a part into it. I don't know.
He looked a bit soft, but I tell you, a guy that didn't look soft was a kid from Jersey. Joe Smuts Jr. took apart Eleider Alvarez, of course, a former WBO champion. These guys hooked it up in an elimination fight. But Joe Smuts Jr., props to this guy, man. He's got the common name, but he's not a common fighter.
Not at all. Joe Smith has gotten better the last few years. Of course, you know, he got on the map by knocking Bernard Hopkins out into retirement. He has just improved. You know, he's a hardworking guy that doesn't do anything spectacular other than he could punch. You know, he's heavy-handed, and props to him from Long Island, New York, construction worker, I believe, by day. And he is in line for another title shot.
Okay.
In a very tough neighborhood.
No doubt about that. 12 rounds of Sean Porter. 4 rounds, I've seen enough. Sebastian Vermalion went 12. Vermalion went 12 rounds. But what can I say? Why was I not impressed with that?
Because you didn't have any reason to be impressed by that. I mean, Sean Porter, basically, you know, he had a fighter in front of him that he was supposed to dominate. He did. But he should have made me want to see Sean Porter out again, meaning stop that guy. You know, he was content pretty much winning a one-sided decision. It was kind of disappointing, especially someone who's supposed to be in the mix of the better welterweights in the world.
It was a disappointment, no doubt about that. Rob Brant was a winner at Comeback, former WBA middleweight champion who choked a few months ago in Japan. He was a winner on a card last week. Straight up, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside. Look at the world of boxing, MMA, of course. This is a Saturday edition. If you listen to us live, it's 11 a.m. Pacific time Saturdays. Of course, Saturdays and Sundays, 11 a.m. Pacific time live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio Channel 211, and a plethora of other internet platforms. You're tuned to Ring Talk.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
I am a little more impressed with you.
Puff Daddy dedicating this tune, of course, Notorious B.I.G. You know that he was involved with that, don't you? Some Showtime special said that Puffy organized all them killings. I don't know. Bottom line is, Puffy's the only one still alive, so there must be some merit to some of that. Bottom line is, you're tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. We're not talking hip-hop. We're talking boxing, MMA, of course. Boxing has been hot. As I said, I woke up at like 6 o'clock in the morning to watch a fight from Australia the other day. Of course, Tim Zhu, the son of former champion Kasia Zhu, was a winner, and that sort of kept the buzz going, with the Dillian White buzz going. So the boxing buzz is going, and we've got fights tonight. Jose Ramirez and Victor Postal. Ramirez undefeated, the WBC champion, 140 pounds. Tell me about this fight.
It's a fight that was postponed due to issues outside of boxing with the coronavirus. It's a good fight. I don't think it's a great fight. I think it would have been great if Victor Postel was a little younger, but his only two losses are against maybe two of the top, definitely against Terrence Crawford and then Josh Taylor, who's creeping into the pound-for-pound rankings. But he's 36, not much of a big puncher. Jose Ramirez makes for very exciting fights. He gets hit a lot, but he does more hitting than of him. He does more hitting of his opponent than him actually receiving. Spectacular win against Maurice Hooker. I couldn't think of a couple of weeks ago. It's a good fight. You know, nothing that, you know, it's going to say, hey, let's throw a fight party, but it's a good fight. Both guys haven't been in the ring in a while, and I expect a solid performance by Ramirez, which is kind of what he always does, breaks his guy down, and he may stop Postel.
25 and zip out of Central California. Of course, Avenel is his hometown. And, of course, Josh Taylor, you mentioned him, the IBF title holder, a southpaw, of course, from Great Britain. Now, I think he's like 8-16 and zip, 29 years old. He's sort of the sleeper, isn't he, in that 140-pound division? He's sort of the quiet guy.
He is. He upset the favorite in that World Boxing Series. Regis Prograis. Yeah. It was a barn burner of a fight. Just basically, he is a mini version of Joe Calzaghe. He kind of reminds. He throws a lot of punches. He fights in the pocket. Very solid. I think he's from Scotland or Wales. Mm-hmm. I think he's Scottish. Yeah. We haven't seen him in a while. Hopefully we get to see him back in the ring, and he's certainly in the knocking on the door of the top 10 pound for pound fighters.
Somehow Irislandi Lara keeps getting television dates, and some people tell me he's the most boring fighter in the world, and other people tell me he's a good fighter. So I'm sort of caught in between here as a host. What's the story on Lara?
Well, Irislandi Lara at one point was one of the best fighters in the world. Boring, I wouldn't necessarily say boring. He fights in that safety first Cuban style. You know, he's at one point very slick, fast hands, good puncher. And you look at his resume. I mean, he arguably got robbed against Canelo Alvarez a few years back. He's not as great as he once was. But you're right. They seem to dust him off. PBC and Louis de Cubis, and they do a good job handling him. Does he still have anything left? We're going to find out. You know, that he's the type of fighter that once the legs are gone, he's pretty much done, you know. And he fought one of the most exciting fights against Angulo several years back. Mm-hmm. He was dropped. You know, he's always shown heart, borderline dirty. But then again, a lot of those slick lefty Cubans are, like my boy Joel Casamayor. Does he have much in the tank? Probably not. To go up against the other 154 pounders, I believe he would get the winner of Charlo and the Dominican kid that upset J-Rock Williams. Mm-hmm. I believe he's in line for that. You
mentioned Louis de Cubas there, the Cuban national, of course. Cuban American. What a genius he was. He brought back Roberto Duran. He made all kinds of money with Duran. I mean, the only bad move he ever made, and I got to dog him about this, was he let Felix Trinidad go. He had Trinidad. And then Trinidad was getting knocked out. So Mike Eckrey said, he's going to get knocked out. Better let him go. And of course, Trinidad went on to win the world title in a couple weight, or if not three weight divisions for Don King. So that was a bit of a mistake on the part of the Cube. But outside of that, Louis de Cuba comes as slick as they come. Other fights, of course, tonight. Am I supposed to get excited about tonight's fights card? I mean, Joe Joyce? Nah, I don't know. Joe Joyce is not going to fight, but Daniel DeBoss is going to fight, and he's going to set up this fight with Joe Joyce. Joe Joyce is the only heavyweight I think I can beat in the world today. I just do. I can't believe that he ever got a professional boxing license. That's how inept he. I mean, I can't believe him. When I was watching him so-called perform a few weeks ago, I was saying to myself, "Yikes! He could not win the novice division of the Golden Gloves." Period. You got to have some guys fighting besides him. I'm not talking about him fighting unopposed. He could probably win it fighting unopposed. But as far as fighting people, he couldn't win the Golden Gloves over here, man. I can't believe how I think it's a fraud being perpetrated by the British British boxing. I think he's the absolute fraud of them all. And of course, people say to me, you're just down on him because he's a UK guy. No, I'm not down on people from the UK. I mean, I think the UK is where boxing started, and some of the great fighters do come from the UK. He's just not one of them, Joe Joyce.
I mean, the promoters are kind of riding this golden era of the UK heavyweights. They want to push him in as maybe the next generation, the next era of the best era in British boxing right now. I mean, with Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua, Dillian White, despite him getting knocked out cold, he's still in that top 10. They're just riding the wave. Joyce has yet to show that he is of that top caliber. But if he beats if he meets Dubois and he wins that fight, which I don't think he will, I'm more impressed with Dubois. You know, he's going to be in the conversation, and you know, in boxing, if you have the right people behind you, you know, I've seen lesser fighters get title shots, and
I've seen lesser fighters get titles.
Yeah, yeah, it happens. It happens. You just have to have the right machine behind you, and be able to sell tickets.
Yeah, that has a lot to do. Checking out the August 29th schedule, ESPN Plus, Danny DuBois versus Eric Pfeiffer. That's a heavyweight contest, of course, on. That's going to be ESPN Plus. Fox has got Lara and Greg Verdetti. And then, of course, Alfred Angulo is going to take on. He was going to take on Caleb Truax. Truax, did he test positive for the COVID-19? Is he out of that?
You know what? I saw that he was pulled, but I didn't see that it was for the coronavirus. It's possible, you know, because it seems that you really hold your breath when you're putting these fight cards together these days. Angulo's another guy that has seen better days, but, you know, he's going to get paid. Hopefully,
I would love to have a super welterweight nowadays. I'm just telling you, man. I think that there are guys that you can make some money in those weight classes at welterweight and super welterweight, 147, 154 pounds. Now let's change gears. I'm going to put you on the spot here as far as historical perspectives are concerned. Marvin Hagler was considered the greatest or one of the greatest middleweight champions of all time. Yet after 12 rounds, he was losing to a lightweight in Roberto Duran. He got beat over 12 rounds by Marvin Hagler by Sugar Ray Leonard after basically selling this title to an extent where he got $5 million for the size of the ring and $5 million to change the fight from 15 rounds to 12 rounds. So that's $10 million. Then he got another $3 million for the gloves. So that's $13 million. So at the end, he got like 24 or 25 million bucks. Marvin Hagler did. And then Marvin and I got into this argument down in Mexico City. Not an argument. I just basically stated facts. He was grumbling about the Hagler, about the loss to Ray Leonard, blah, 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 blah. And I said to him, it's simple math. And he said, huh? I said, yeah, it's simple math. You gave away the first four rounds. All Ray had to do was win three rounds after round four, and I think he did that. Guess what? Marvin shut up. He didn't say a word. He just looked at me like, "Rrr," you know, but it is simple math. So anyway, the question I pose to you is, was Marvin that great of a middleweight, or did he just make his bones on welterweights and like Hearns and Mugabe was a super welterweight, 154 pounder? In other words, there aren't any Hall of Fame middleweights on his ledger. So what I'm trying to say is he that great of a middleweight?
Are you saying he's overrated? Are you saying he's overrated?
I'm asking you.
My opinion, I'm going to say Marvin Hagler definitely is in the conversation of the greatest middleweights. Okay. Yes, he did some of his marquee wins are against lighter fighters, but Hagler really earned his title shot. He went over to England and beat Minter. He had the war with Vito Antifermo. Marvin Hagler also fought in a very TV-friendly style, you know, and that no-nonsense, blue-collar fashion. So it really... The everyday fan could be enamored with him.
In
the boring fight.
I got to ask you this, and then how could he get intimidated by a lightweight and the welterweight? Because he was intimidated by both Duran and Leonard. I mean, he gave Duran the ultimate compliment that he had a sneaky right hand.
I mean, Duran's a legend, man, and still, I mean, Duran's a legend. I mean, I can't say, you know, that. It was maybe the awe fighting a superstar like Sugar Ray Leonard, but then again, the way he took out Tommy Hearns, who, yes, he was originally a welterweight, but Tommy went all the way up to light heavyweight and won a world title. So I think, you know, I got to give Marvin his props, one of the most exciting fighters of his era or of any era.
That is the boxing PhD. I'm talking about Mr. Socrates Palmer. Real quick, on the fight tonight, Dubois is going to win?
Yeah, I'm picking... the favorite, straight down the line tonight.
Good enough.
Let's Dubois, yeah.
Go ahead, sir. Be Dubois.
Dubois, Ramirez, and Lara will get himself another title shot down the line.
Socrates Palmer says it's chalk on Saturday night. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide on Sports Byline.
decision now. Let's listen.
Clarity in the world of professional boxing is spelled WBO. That's right, the World Boxing Organization is boxing's only transparent sanctioned body. You can follow the WBO on Facebook or check out their website, WBOboxing.com. That's WBOboxing.com. The World Boxing Organization.
He's got it all. Ray shall line up a shot and weather the storm. He knows what it's like to have to weather an early storm. Look at this stuff.
Who would have said it would be Jimbo on the back with Ray Mercer in his car? Jimbo to tap me out. Guillotine choke. Tap out win for Jimbo.
Now more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Yeah, that's him, man.
The guitar of Mr. Jerry Cortez, the Tower of Power, baby. On the soul side of town, check it out, one of their recent releases. You can always check out the Tower at towerofpower.com. Of course, Emilio Castillo's and the East Bay Godfathers of Funk, Tower of Power at towerofpower.com. Wow! Last week I was dead wrong as far as the UFC was concerned. Of course, I thought in the main event, I would have thought that Pedro Munhoz would just annihilate Frankie Edgar. Of course, Frankie Edgar, the 155-pound champion or former 155-pound champion, a little tiny guy. I mean, he's a small little tiny guy. So he never, at 155, he was a small guy at 155. Then he went to 145, and he was sort of like a small guy at 145. So then he dropped down to 135 pounds, which is a bantamweight limit, and took on Pedro Munhoz last week, and he was like almost a 4-1 underdog. And what happens? Split decision after five rounds. Frankie Edgar wins 3-2 as far as rounds are concerned on two different two judges' cards. The other judge had a 49-46 or 4-1 the other way for Pedro Munhoz. Munhoz thought he won. Frankie Edgar was, I mean, he was just amazing as far as taking the leg kicks that he took time and time and time again. I was saying to myself, good Lord, how could he do that?
Ladies and gentlemen, after five rounds, we go to the judges' scorecards for a decision. Eric Corwin scores the contest, 48-47, Edgar. Sal Amato scores it, 49-46, Munhoz. And Derek Cleary scores the contest, 48-47, for the winner by split decision, Frankie the Edson Edgar.
He's got a little bit of a limp, but congratulations, Frankie, on a huge win in a career full of them. How do you feel about those crazy 25 minutes, man?
We're going to call that a Jersey Shore pimp limp, my man. Johnny, man, it's good to be on the winning side. That was a hell of a fight. Pedro's a stud. I heard a lot of MFers barking that I'm old, I'm slow. I definitely should prove them all wrong. I still got some fight in this tank, baby, and we're going to make a run at 35. He was number five, and that might put me right in the top five. Three-way classes. I'm showing I could compete with the best at 38 years old. I don't want to hear nothing from anybody.
Yeah, I think that this performance will go a long way in terms of silencing some of those doubters. But I have to ask, over 25 minutes, I mean, you look great physically. How did you feel like your body was able to compete down in this bantamweight division?
If anything, better than I was at the other weights.
Wow.
I didn't carry any other weight. I mean, he chipped me with some good leg kicks. I believe I checked a bunch of them, but I'm hoping his leg hurts a little bit too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, man, John, when this is done, it's kind of silly that we got to be all far apart. I'm going to come give you a hug, baby.
I know. I want to come give you a hug as well. In terms of your championship trajectory, a lot of people who listen to you here during Fight Week heard you say, I'm not here to take part. I want to make a run at 135 pounds. And to do that over the number five guy in the world, I got to think this opens up a lot of opportunities for you now.
Yeah, man. You know, it's got my feet wet. You know, I think the sky's the limit for myself. I didn't look slow in there. Pedro's a top dog, and that makes me a top dog. TR, baby. TR. We back.
You're definitely back, and I know your boys and your wife are out here in Las Vegas, so you can go give them a hug. But the future may be in the Hall of Fame. The present's still very relevant. Congrats, my man, on a big win.
Yeah, I just want to thank my team, Chris, Mark, Steve, Ricardo, Al Lee, everybody back home, my wife, my kids. I miss you. I love you. Can't wait to see my daughter. I've been FaceTiming every day.
Yeah.
My boys are going to celebrate tonight some cheeseburgers.
There he is. There is only one Frankie Edgar, and he gets his 18th UFC win tonight over 25 hard minutes against Pedro Munhoz.
Courtesy of ESPN, of course, the former champion now fighting at 135 pounds. You know, in coming down from 155 to 145, I said to myself, you know, he's cutting off an arm and a leg. He's a small guy. Maybe he won't have such a problem making 145. But going down 20 pounds and still being competitive and beating a world-class guy, you got to give it to Frankie Edgar. Now, of course, 24-8, as he mentioned a couple of times there, 38 years old, still rocking and rolling. Congratulations to him. The undercard, not too impressive. Mike Rodriguez stopped Marcin Percio. That was like in the first round, 2 minutes and 17 seconds in, with a couple of an elbow and a couple of punches. There was an upset on the card, a huge upset, and it came in the women's flyweight division. This young lady from the Midwest, she came in like, I think Shayna Dodson came in at 3-4, okay? She came in at 3-4. She was a mark for this girl, Mariah Agapova. Agapova was going to be like the next rage, a Conor McGregor of the female side of MMA. She was like a monster. She was going to kill her. Guess what? Didn't go over that way. Shayna won a second round TKO as far as that fight was concerned, 138 in. So I'm just like blown away by that. Just absolutely blown away by that, because she was like, that was the biggest underdog in MMA women's history outside of Holly Holm and Ronda Rousey. So you realize what a big upset this was. This was a huge, huge upset. So for Shayna Dodson, we give her the very best of props, because she defied the odds. I'm not saying that she's a better fighter than the other girl. You know, I mean, as far as that, maybe they could fight 10 times. Maybe the other girl will win 8 times. I don't know. But the bottom line is, that night, last Saturday night, she got her head handed to her, Mariah Agapova. Outside of the rest of the fights, not too much there. Of course, the future of the UFC comes tonight as far as the next broadcast is concerned. A big light heavyweight bout. Of course, I'm talking about a guy that once fought for the title. I guess he's got to be considered a pretty good fighter. Anthony Smith taking on Alexander Rakic. Rakic, of course, from the former Soviet Union. The co-features Robbie Lawler, the former champion, taking on Neil Magny. Of course, Neil, a bit of a journeyman, can say per se. And I guess Robbie Lawler might be considered a bit of a journeyman at this point in time. And Jay Leon Kim's going to take on Alexa Grasso in a women's flyweight bout. Of course, women always rocking. Why do women's kick ass as far as MMA is concerned? I mean, women's MMA and women's boxing is as different as night and day. It's as different. It is. I mean, night and day. I mean, wow. You see punches land in women's MMA about boom. I mean, punches mean something. You see punches land in women's boxing, and it's like, really? Another 100 punches later and the fight's still going? You know what I'm saying? So that's why women's MMA is just kicking the snot out of women's boxing as far as entertainment is concerned, pound for pound, as far as your dollar is concerned. And the people in boxing don't get this. And I keep repeating this. In the NBA, the ball is smaller. The basketball is smaller in the world, in the Women's National Basketball Association, than it is in the NBA. And in ladies baseball, the bats are lighter. Do I need to say anything else? So why in boxing are the gloves the same? I keep asking the question. I asked a couple of the sanctioning body presidents about that. They were, they didn't know how to answer that. And nobody knows how to answer it. Nobody knows how to answer it. I have asked the athletic commission guys about that. Oh, no, we're sort of against women with lighter gloves. Why? Why would you be against women with lighter gloves? Because they can't do any damage with these 8 and 10-ounce gloves that you put on them right now. Bit of a stinker as far as women's boxing is concerned. As far as pound for pound is concerned, Cecilia Bregas getting beat a fortnight ago. You got to give the girl that beat her props. I mean, but Bregas was very humble in defeat. I got to give her a lot of credit because she was humble in defeat, and she is an outstanding fighter, there's no doubt. An outstanding boxer, no doubt about it. Now, back to the sport of MMA. Alistair Overeem, remember him? Alistair Overeem, September the 5th, he's going to take on a guy named by the name of Sakai that's going to go down to the UFC Apex Center in Las Vegas, Nevada. Dana White said he's headed back to Dubai, Fight Island. Of course, Dana White having appeared at the Republican National Convention this week, and of course the ratings weren't very good, and that wasn't because, you know, of the political thing. It was because of Dana. Nobody wants to listen to Dana talk politics. I mean, it's tough enough listening to Dana talk MMA. He's so full of spit, and he's so one-sided. I mean, good Lord. I mean, you upset Dana's apple cart, and Dana does you wrong. That's the way it is. In other words, Dana has like this roadmap laid out, right? And if something happens, if you like cause his car to go off the course, you know what he does to you? He puts you in another death match. Death match after death match after death match. And I keep telling you that. And people say to me, well, you know, that's sort of MMA. No. If you get your head handed to you in a fight, you shouldn't be put in another death match fight after that. I'm not trying to say you should be put against a stiff where you're going to win hands down. I'm just trying to say you shouldn't be put in a death match. In the UFC, that's all about. They're just killing people off. That's what, because they don't have to pay them that way. If you kill people off, you don't have to pay them. Don't you get it? You kill people off. In other words, the guy gets 3 or 4 wins, boom, he loses. Why? Because you put him in four or five death matches in a row. And then, of course, he keeps winning, but sooner or later you're going to lose a death match. The only exception to that is like John Jones. And, of course, he's the light heavyweight champion, of course, moved up to heavyweight now, talking about wanting to fight for the title. Stipe Miocic, the current champion, talking about a rematch with Francis Ngannou, a guy that he beat before, but he won't beat again. Sorry, Stippy. I mean, former Golden Glove champion, state of Ohio. I think you're an outstanding fighter. You're a good boxer and this and that, but I don't think anybody can throw hands with Francis Ngannou and come away victorious, not in 2020, not in 2021, not in 2022. For the foreseeable future, Francis Ngannou is the king of the heavyweight division as far as the world of mixed martial arts is concerned. Now, speaking of mixed martial arts and Donald Trump, hey, his boy Kobe Covington is going to be hooking it up, of course, with Tyrone Woodley. Of course, these guys are both former champions. It's going to be pretty good. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Covington, of course, got his head handed to him in his last fight. But you know what? He was bold. I mean, he talked a lot of smack, but he didn't puss out. He didn't run, nothing like that. He took an ass-whooping like a man. If ever was a guy that took an ass-whooping like a man, he did it. So, Kobe Covington, you have my respect there. There was no doubt about it. Politically, we don't agree. As far as Tyrone Woodley's concerned, Woodley fought that last fight and didn't fight like he wanted to fight. So I don't know how much he's going to want to fight Covington when they hook it up. Of course, September the 19th with a site to be determined, talking about Las Vegas, Nevada. They're wanting to do this in a casino. They want to go to a casino now, but they want to bring in like a small crowds. They want to do small crowds. I don't know if that's going to work. I mean, you know, we don't know anything right now. The virus is like running rapid all over the country. 1,000 people a day are dying. I mean, that's sort of like the quiet thing. If you tune into the Republican convention this week, the virus is gone. It just disappeared. It went miraculously went away. But there's 1,000 people dying a day. So please be safe. Wear your mask. I'm going to a funeral of sorts today in Golden Gate Park. And I will be wearing my mask, but I'll talk about that after the break. Of course, one of my musical buddies, one of the guys that I had running the La Fuente 2020. Of course, I ran that. I promoted that big reunion dance earlier this year, February 1st, 2020, which was a sellout. And Greg was there, and we'll talk about Greg after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. The real grudge fight, UFC 253. I mean, good Lord. These guys absolutely don't like each other, and it's a contrast in styles. This guy, Paulo Costa from Brazil, everybody says he's like on the juice. And I don't mean like orange juice or fresh squeeze. I mean like steroids, like vitamins, like steroids, like Flintstone vitamins. Those are the accusations from the Israel Adesanya, of course, the champion at middleweight, 185 pounds. And some other people have sort of hinted at the fact that Costa, you know, takes steroids because he comes down from like 220 pounds to 185 pounds. From 220, and he's not fat at 220. He's not fat at 220. He comes down to 185 pounds. The weight cut for that guy is incredible. I don't know how he does it. Must do enemas a whole 9 yards. But the bottom line is, at the end of the day, he makes 185 pounds. And in the world of the UFC, and we've talked about this before, the UFC's weigh-in system, the fact that they weigh in the day before, you know, and they're allowed to gain all this kind of weight, is just unfair to the average athlete because maybe Israel, the champion, isn't going to gain 30 pounds after the fight. You hear where I'm coming from? I mean, after the weigh-in. He's not going to gain 30 pounds. Costa's probably going to gain about 25 pounds. He's going to have a physical mass advantage over the champion. If they get on the ground and the guy gets on top of you, all of a sudden you got to push an extra 20 pounds off of you, folks. That's why we have weight classes. That's why we have weight limits. That's why we have weigh-ins, but not in the world of the UFC. It's like weigh-ins just a technicality. And yeah, it's a technicality. Yeah, he made the weight, but, you know, so, okay. I mean, guys like Khabib, the lightweight champion, of course, weighs 155 on the scale, gets into the cage, 175 pounds. That wouldn't be fair. I mean, that was sort of like I remember fighting at welterweight, 147 pounds, and I was a junior welterweight, actually a lightweight, that was a little tried to cheat and fight at 140 or 139 instead of junior lightweight, and instead of sacrificing myself and going down to 132, that's which I probably should have been as an amateur. I fought at 139, okay? Then it moved up to 147, and I got spanked. Why? Size difference, man. The size difference is just too much. This guy, Paulo Costa, he's huge compared to Israel. But Israel, good fighter. That's going to be a toss-up, UFC 253. No doubt about that. Coming to you in September on pay-per-view. You are tuned to Ring Talk live worldwide from the Sports Byline headquarters.
I am not the bubblegum dude you're talking to.
If we're playing taps, it means we've lost somebody in the family. That's right, Greg Doxey, of course, musician extraordinaire, a guy from the Mission, an iconic figure that used to hang out with Bobby Antonelli every gig that Bobby did, Bobby A, the DJ, did. Of course, Greg was there, ringside. He was just always there, and he was such a wonderful soul. Last time I saw him, I gave him a 50 spot, and we had a good gig. I'm talking about the La Fuente 2020. He was part of that crew, so I wish his family the best, and of course, we'll have a memorial today, I think, in Golden Gate Park today, Saturday and Sunday, for Greg Doxey. But Greg was class. There was no doubt about it. May he rest in peace. Tonight, the boxing schedule, of course, ESPN's got it going on. Fox has got it going on. Of course, you got to check out TV, man. You want to watch some fights that are on TV. Of course, you don't know when great fights happen because they sort of just take place. I mean, the Dillian White Alexander Povetkin fight was supposed to be okay, maybe a bore, but guess what? Turned out to be one of the most exciting heavyweight fights in recent history. Why? Because of the way it ended. That punctuation mark ending. There's nothing quite as exciting, like Andre Ward said earlier in the show, than a one-punch knockout. Bang! It's all over with, baby. That's boxing. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing and MMA. Of course, this is a Saturday edition. If you listen to us live, it's 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live each and every Saturday on these same channels. Of course, the Sports Byline Broadcast Network, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM, Satellite Radio, Channel 211. The Sunday edition, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 hours on the same channels, the same networks. Bottom line is, this is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. If you're catching us in the form of a podcast, it's at anchor.com. Of course, Ring Talk Live Worldwide, weekly podcast at anchor.com. The executive producer, the one, the only, Scott Cuddy. Until next time, peace, love, and a ton of respect.